All right, what's up, everybody? Welcome to week number 4 in our series called Torch. So glad to have you, and so glad to have all those watching online with us today. We're thankful for you guys. Come on, Elevate. Let's just welcome all those who are watching online with us today. Amen. Love you guys. And man, just want to get right to the point on something. We had, yesterday was an interesting day for us. We had, and so you may or may not know, but I just thought I'd just come here on this Sunday and just give it to you, let you know. But we had someone who was posing as me yesterday and made up a fake email account and sent a ton of email to a bunch of you, all right? And so first off, that wasn't me, all right? And so I want you to know that. And man, just asking for all kinds of stuff. And so just want you guys to know that wasn't me. And then also found out a lot of churches around the country got hit with the exact same thing. And so it was literally just emails. Nothing else was taken. So we just want you guys to know that. But handle that, and we are continuing to learn and grow to help make sure our emails are secure. And so I just wanted you guys to know, but oh man, you just want to, just karate chop someone in the throat, you know, it's just like, that's just the way I felt yesterday, man. I thought, my God. So anyway, just wanted you guys to know, everybody say it wasn't him, all right? And so, yeah, wasn't me, all right? Hey, want to also let you know, it's been a long time since I've plugged these, just thought I would, for our message notes, for those for you that follow along in our notes today, they're inside your worship guides, they're three-hole punched, and so, and part of that is because we give these binders away for free, and so if you don't have a binder, but you'd love one, and it's kind of a neat way to just kind of go throughout the year and collect them, and just kind of go back and learn, and to see what you've grown in and learned. So if you want those, they're right out there at the hub, and you can pick those up on the way out today. And just before we get in our message, I cannot believe I forgot this at first service, and Bethany said, maybe you forgot. And so, I just want to also let you guys know we have hired our new worship pastor, everybody. And yes, and so we're very excited about this, Kyle and Gabrielle Garner, who was actually with us last weekend. So if you were here last weekend, you got to see and be a part of worship. We're very excited about that. They are moving up from Arkansas, and so it's a big move for them, and so just be praying that their transition goes well and goes smooth. They come from just a great church down with Pastor Craig Rochelle, and just man, just doing an amazing work down there, and so we feel real honored to have them with us in the journey, and it's going to be good, so excited for that. Amen. All right, well, let's get right into the message. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18 has been really the theme for us, and in this series has been all about carrying the vision. And when we came into this year, God really put it on our hearts to begin the month of January on the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe it was a game changer, not only for our church, but I think we're still just hearing just reports of just what God did in that month. And so thankful for that. And how many know we need the activity of the Holy Spirit in our life? And we definitely had just an incredible time. And then wanted to take this month, the month of February into the first part of March and talking about just vision and clarifying, re-clarifying as we continue to go forward and knowing what God has called us to do. In 2 weeks, we celebrate 7 years as a church. It's, man, just can't believe it's been that quick. And so we're excited for that. And so it's timely for that. But let's look at this verse here, and then we'll do just a kind of a quick review. Proverbs 29:18. It says this, that if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. And another version says, without vision, people perish. And so everybody shout vision. Yeah, so it's important that you have vision for your life, and it's also very important that we have vision and that we have a clarity and understanding for where we're at, where we're going, and what we're trying to accomplish for the glory of God. And so we've been doing a lot of that. Week number 1, in fact, was really a foundational, I think, message, and honestly, real foundational piece of who we are as a church, that we are centered on Christ, and God has given us a specific plan. And really, it goes back to the promises. We talked on the promises of God in that week, and that God has laid out, honestly, a lot of promises, but we take a few of those out of Exodus chapter 6, where God delivered the Israelites out of the hand, out of the bondage of Egypt, and there were a few things that God did, and so our vision, and you see it in the hallways that God has provided, and honestly, you see it in there in Exodus 6, all the way played out to through the end of the Bible, of knowing God, finding freedom, discovering our purpose, going to make a difference ultimately with our life. And so we just believe that God has always had it in his heart to do those four things. And so, and then week number two, we talked on the importance of embracing momentum. Everybody shout momentum. Yeah, I love the word, and we looked at the definition of what momentum is, and that we want momentum in our life. We want to have a life that's moving forward, that's thrusting us forward, not a life that's stagnation and or a life that just gets stuck, but a life of motion. And so we want that. And part of that is just, again, the understanding that we give, you know, leadership away, that we believe that our church and our ministries that we have ought to reflect the people that God sends us. And then last week, we talked about being a presence-driven church, that at the end of the day, man, you can have great systems, you can have great lights, all those things, great, you know, parking lot, all those wonderful things, and they're important, but we are nothing without the presence of God, because without his presence, lives are not changed, and people cannot encounter him. And so being a presence-driven church is the focus that we have within our heart, is, man, we want to become more and more like Jesus, less and less of us and about us. John 3:30 is the scripture that we looked at last week, and so how many know we need the presence of God, amen, to change lives? And so today I want to talk to you just on the topic of just the empowerment that I believe God gives and God has commissioned us as his church to help do in the lives of people. Because we started Elevate City, honestly, with a different perspective, that church wasn't going to be about us, and that we are going to continue to help take care of those who God sends us, but continually realizing and remembering that our primary focus is out there, is outside of these four walls, amen? And so we've just had a dream and a vision in our heart to help people see their dreams come to pass as well, that God has a desire, man, to advance his kingdom and then to build his church and to impact the world, and you and I are a part of it. You and I are part of that plan, and so our job, our responsibility, part of our goal is to help you discover what that is for your life, and then to just release you into the place of dreaming and accomplishing all that God has. Because here's what I know, that if you don't know what makes you unique, if you are in a place that you are not aware of your gifts and your talents that God has placed on the inside of you that makes you special, then we as a church leadership have failed you. But which is why we have our growth track that I truly believe is one of the best ways that we can help and continue to pastor people, is to take them on a journey to knowing, again, of finding out what it is within them, their gifts and that purpose. And so that's available during our noon service as well today. And I just hope even by the end of this message, you know, our heart, in one of the things that we say a lot around here is taking people one step forward, taking people. And for somebody today, maybe your next step is going through growth track. Maybe your next step is coming ultimately into a relationship with God today. Maybe somebody else's next step is getting plugged into a small group. Maybe somebody else's step is getting baptized today. But we're all called. God is calling us to be a church of momentum, that we continue to take steps that move us forward. And I'm so appreciative to our growth track team, because, man, I'm telling you, it's making a difference. In fact, we have a stat that we say from time to time that I think is such a good reminder for all of us, that 87% of Christians in our nation don't know their gifts. And so I'm just thankful that we're a part of something that's helping to buck those statistics, to help seeing people discover what their gifts are, to begin to go out and live the calling and the dream that God has placed within their heart. I thought it was so cool. The other week, it was after third service, and I was down here, and one of our young women that came up to me, she just got saved 6 weeks ago. And when she came up to me, she said, "Pastor," she said, "I just want to share some things with you." And she went through growth track, and she'd done small groups, man. And she did everything we've encouraged to do. Amen? And so, but I loved her passion. I loved her desire. But she came up, and as she went through the growth track, she said, "Hey," she said, I'm really excited about a couple of these things on the dream team, but there's one that really sticks out to me." And she said, I love the way she said it. She said, "You know, I'm really learning this voice of God thing, you know." And she said, "And that's actually why I'm up here, because I really want prayer for that, because I want to make sure that I'm making right steps in my life." And I said, "Okay, well, tell me." And so she told me one of the areas on the dream team that she just feels a passionate about. And I said, "Well, man, let's pray, connect, and then let's just continue to take those next steps and make sure that you talk to your captain and get going in that." And I just love to see as new people continue to have that relationship with God, and especially 6 weeks old as a Christian, to see her run the race and to see her grab a hold of what God is doing, because I think it's incredible. And so I just want you to know today that today is not some kind of appeal to try to get you to sign up for something. Honestly, this message is fully to get something to you today. And I just believe we're in a time and we're in an hour like never before where God is calling his church and calling his people to rise up in the call of God and the gifts of God, and then let's go do something about a hurting and broken humanity that are outside of these four walls. Can I hear a good amen today, all right? And so I just know this, that, you know, we're functioning well as a church. We're doing well. How many know the coffee got here today and the worship team was here on time? Thank you, Lord. And our parking lot, our kids ministry, you know, things are functioning well. But man, I just believe that our team would be better with you on it. And that I also believe that you will be better because you're on the team and you're making a difference with your life as well. I just believe that. And so I just, you know, as we journey in this thing called life, one of the things that helps me just continuing to move forward is to know that our purpose is always greater than our problems. And you've got to have something within you that wakes you up every day. And not just, man, I got to go collect another paycheck somewhere, but no, something that God is moving on the inside of you and those gifts and that purpose that wakes you up and say, no, this is why I'm here. And I love one of our young men in our church came to me right before first service this morning, and he just said, Pastor, I've got three people coming from work today. And I love his heart because it's very indicative of what God's doing on the inside of him. And I just love that passion and that desire because we're called to reach and we're called to live out our purpose. And ultimately, all of our purpose is to make a difference in the lives of everybody that we encounter. Amen? And so here's what I know. Here's the reality, though, of a message like this, is that I know that a lot of Christians probably know this, probably understand this, but for whatever reason, we still fall into a place that we're not engaged and that we're not walking things out diligently in our life. And if you're here for the first time, or maybe you don't know who God is, I just want you to know that God has a plan for your life. And he's got an incredible future in front of you. And part of our part of the plan of God and what he's given us to do as the local church is to help you and to equip you in this. So I want to look at a few things today of why I think we get disengaged. Why does this happen? The first one, if you're following in our notes, you can jot this down, is because I think people don't see the need. We don't see the need. I think the reason why there's an average church attendance in America of 85 is because I think vision has to continue to come alive in the hearts of God's people. The vision in the church, but also vision within your personal walk with God. Again, discovering your gifts and discovering that purpose. And so we are always looking to help take people one step forward. It's why the Dream Team is just incredible of what God is doing here in our church. And you know, I shared a few weeks ago that it takes around 115 people to pull off three services, and that's a lot of people, but that's a lot of people that are selfless. It's a lot of people, man, that God's doing a great work in. We sent out our mass invitation this week to all of our Dream Teamers. Pastor Kyle Stadler did that, and I asked him, I said, where are we at, you know, in Dream Teamers, and you know, how many? We've got well over 200 that serve, and I think it's a great number, but it's not enough. Especially when God has called us as a church to continue to reach more people. That's why we spend a lot of time continuing to build people, and we want to be building disciples and going to be change agents into our city. That's why we're dreaming big and we're casting vision, and we don't have a date officially, but that's why we're dreaming and talking about this second location that's coming downtown. Why? Because we see the need. Why? Because God has placed us in the inner city and God is moving and providing buses and doing all this. It's not for us, it's to reach people for the glory of God. Amen? And so we've got a responsibility, and because of that, we have to continue to follow the voice of God and his leading and not be afraid to step out in faith when he says go. Amen? So we want to be in a place that we're found ready when God says it's time. And so that's what we're continuing to prepare for, because Jesus said it best. He said it best right here in Matthew 9:37. He said, the harvest is so great. It's great. But he said, the problem is the workers are few. And he told his disciples, I want you to pray to the one in charge of the harvesting and ask him to recruit more workers for his harvest fields. In other words, that it's not a harvest problem that we have, because in Fort Wayne, in the greater Fort Wayne area, there's 380,000 people that live in the greater Fort Wayne area, but only 60,000 attend church. And what we need is an encounter, and what our city needs is an experience with God. And networking and working across church lines and what we've been doing over the last several months is going to see that happen, because we know it's not just about us, but we're a part of the big C. Everybody say the big C. And that's the church of Jesus Christ, to see a move of God come like never before. And so, the problem is not harvest, because there's always plenty of people to reach. The problem is God saying, can I count on you? Can I count on you to rise up into your call, into the gifting, and to go do the mission that I've given you to do for your life? And so for us in our church, Elevate City, that's why it's not built on the gifts and talents of a couple people. It's built on the sacrifices of so many people that live this out and are helping like so many dream teamers every week. And I just know if we're going to reach Fort Wayne, we need you. We need you, your continued help and your gifts to help serve, to help pray, to help reach people, to help love people, to help counsel people. Come on, to help point them to Jesus. Are you with me? Amen? And in 1 Corinthians 12:20 says, such a great verse that Jesus says, and it's such a powerful part that you and I need to understand, that we are together, we are his body. And each one of you, look at this, is a separate and necessary part. You're a necessary part of what God is doing in the world today. You're a part of it. And if we're going to reach our full potential as a church, guess what, man? God needs you. We need you. And here's what I would encourage. Don't spend your life just cheering others on, waiting in the stands. How many have ever been at a football game, basketball game, hockey game, I don't care, golf game, soccer game, you're in the stands. I think there's such a thing as a golf being in the stands. But anyways, you know, but you've been, let me see your hands. How many have ever watched? Yeah. All right. And here's the thing. It's cheering in the stands, it's great, it's fun. And of all ages, we need little Johnny to do well. But, you know, then we've got our football teams, you know. And so glory to God. Or a basketball team. Plug in Indiana. How about that win yesterday? Praise God. So anyways, there's a few Sparty fans praying for you today, but in this church. And so, but nonetheless, here's what I know. It's great being in the stands, but that's not your and my, that's not our calling. Our calling is God saying, I want to get you out of the stands and into the game. I want you to be a part of what I'm doing. I don't want you to be a people watcher. I remember working in Columbus at the airport there, one of the things I loved about my job there is that I saw so many different types of people. I mean, so many. You see so many at the airport. And so it was fun just to kind of have lunch. Myself and some of our staff, we just have lunch out in the food court and watch everybody. You know what I mean? But can I just tell you, God ain't called us to people watch. He's not called us to sit by and just hope that somebody else steps up. No, not when he's placed those things on the inside of you to go out and make a difference with your life. We're not called to sit on those things. Amen? And so maybe you're even here and you thought, man, I just don't know that they need me. It looks like worship's covered and kids is getting all up. No, we need you. And I'm just telling you, there's room. And especially, again, with a vision to go into a second location. And oh, by the way, in 2 weeks, we're going to share some incredible news of what's happening with the Dream Center. Why? Because we have a mission that God has given us, a vision to go reach our city and make an impact. Come on, somebody. And so it excites me. And so I just know that we have far more opportunities to plug people in and to help grow people. It's awesome. And here's another reason why I think we get disengaged is because we just don't have the desire. You say, maybe I don't have the desire. And honestly, one of the heartbeat behind this series, when I was praying about it and I was thinking about the title of it, Torch, fire is just what I saw when I was praying about just this vision series for our church, that God would light and ignite just a fire within us to go after him just with everything within us. And here's my prayer. I don't know where you're at in your walk right now, but my prayer is by the time you leave this place right here today, that God would ignite a desire in your life to go do something beyond yourself and to continue to make a difference. Maybe you are doing something, maybe you're not. Maybe you feel kind of stuck. But I'm just telling you, I really feel, man, all week, this has been just a message resonating in my spirit for us today. Old school Christianity kind of says this way, and I remember growing up in old school Christianity, they would say, man, they would put people in positions that they didn't love. You know, if you're like me, you grew up in old-time Christianity. I can remember, man, we need you to serve in this area because there's a need, you know. And I can remember my poor pastor having to get up and say, "Is anybody, you know, that would go serve in this on a Sunday morning? Would you go serve here? Because we don't have nobody, you know." And so I'm so glad that we don't do that anymore. Thank you, Jesus. And that's where Growth Track is helping, because it's helping people identify their gift and then going to serve in the area of that gift. But I believe not serving in the area of your gift is a direct result of burnout. I believe people get burnout, and one of the reasons why people get burnout is because they're living or serving in an area that's not their purpose. And so you're just kind of spinning your wheels, and life just gets frustrating. And so honestly, we want to put people in the places that's their sweet spot, that they enjoy in the journey. Paul said it this way. He said, if you have the gift of blank, then go do that. Then go use that gift and make a difference. And so according to the gift that God's given us, go make a difference with your life. And again, that's happening at noon today. And some of us may need to cancel our plans this afternoon to be a part of Growth Track and make sure that we're taking those next steps in our life. And again, I just see Growth Track as taking people from that may have been in the stands and getting in the game. And maybe even you've been in the stands catching your breath. And let me just say this, because this is important. Because sometimes I know we come out of seasons that are tough and we need to just rest a bit and we need to just kind of catch our breath. And that is okay that you do that. But remember, it's just a season, not seasons, all right? That season of just sitting and just resting and getting healed and restored is good, and we need that. But remember, it's not a season and forever. And so you've got to begin to recognize, okay, when's the end of this? Is it now? And taking those next steps. And those are conversations that we can have, and that's why we have pastors and small groups to help us in those conversations. But I'm just so glad that we don't ask people to serve because there's a need. We ask people to serve because it's their calling. Amen? And that you serve in the area of your gift. Here's just a simple thing that I think that is really important. That when you understand God, when you understand Him and the importance of being a part of His church, that it's not a hobby, but a lifestyle, it is a game changer for you. I'm going to say it again. When you understand God and when you understand the importance of His church, that it's not just a hobby, it's not just something else I check on the list or check off the list, but it becomes a lifestyle, that changes everything for you. Shifts your world and your perspective. And so Philippians 2:13 says it this way, for God is working in you. Everybody say, God is working in me. You, even though you may not feel it, even though that you may not see it right now, I'm telling you, I promise you, God is working in you today, giving you, look at this, the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. I love this verse because it's God who gives us the desire and the ability to carry out what He has given us. And can I just say it this way? It doesn't mean that things are always going to be easy. All right, it doesn't mean it's always going to be easy, because here's one of the things. We have great expectations for our teams to show up early and to be on time. Amen. And how many thankful that they turned the lights on this morning? I'm so glad they got here and they did that. Amen. And so how many thankful for clean toilets? Amen. And it's not just muddy and everything else in that. All right, so thank God that, for lack of better words. Anyway, but I'm thankful for that. But as you serve in your calling, here's what it does. There's a true sacrifice that comes with that. But I truly believe it's a fulfillment that you'll enjoy. And you're making a difference growing in that. And then here's really the last thing. And that is why I think people get disengaged. And it's because we don't have vision. And for some of us today, that we need to grab a hold of vision for our lives. I mean, I don't have vision. And I think part of that is because we don't see ourselves the way God sees us. And God really does have a plan. He really does have it in His heart to take us on a journey. And it's going to be really important that we grab a hold of this. So I was, you know, just kind of thinking this week of just an observation, just a pastoral observation that I feel like maybe I can just simplify this, not in your notes, but that we can help you with. Here's what I've learned about those on our dream team today and those that are a part and serving. Here's what I've learned, that those who are faithful to the church, who are not doing life alone, but are connected in a small group, who are serving on the dream team, they're making a difference with their life, they're building their relationship with Jesus, and they're having healthy accountability, godly accountability in their life. Here's what I'm seeing that being produced, and here's what I see coming out of just their lives and their heart. They're growing spiritually because of it. They're more joyful. They're fun to be around. It's dreadful to do life with people who aren't fun and who are selfish. Are you with me? All right? But they're fun to be around. They're helping others grow. And then I'm seeing this played out a lot right now. This last thing I'm getting ready to say is that they're handling their storms better than those who are not engaged in these disciplines. Now listen, it doesn't make them better than anybody else. No, but here is what we need to understand. Listen to me. I encourage you to write this down somewhere. Growth is a choice. Growth is a choice. And so I can't give what I don't have. So our level of our dependency on God has got to continue to rise. We learned so much in the month of January why the Holy Spirit and who He is so vital in our life and in our walk. We cannot do this life without the activity of the Holy Spirit. In fact, I would dread trying to do this out without my friend the Holy Spirit. But we need Him, and we need His presence so much in our life. But I think what happens is we get real frustrated when we see other people get blessed. We get real frustrated when we see other people started achieving dreams. But can I tell you, growth is a choice, but growth isn't always easy. How many remember growing up and having growing pangs in your legs and all that? Any of y'all ever had that, or was it just me? I'm still growing, hopefully, in Jesus' name. But somewhere along the line, I just stopped. But anyways, I did have some, contrary to what you may think. But anyways. But it's a choice. And so instead of getting frustrated or mad, realize, no, they've paid a price. And I don't know what price they paid to be them and to be where they're at today, but they've gone through some hell somewhere to get where they're at today, because they made the choice. I'm not just going to sit by and root on everybody else. No, I'm going to get in this thing. I'm going to be a part of the mission, and I'm not just going to hope somebody else does the job and reaches Fort Wayne. Not while I still got breath in these lungs, baby. We've got a job to do. We've got a mission. We've got to continue to understand the importance of it. And so, I love this scripture in Colossians 2. It says, let your roots, look at this, grow down into Him. Who's Him? Jesus. And let your lives be built on Him. Then your faith will grow. Everybody say, growth is a choice. You're going to grow strong in the truth you were taught. And then, man, this is so good. This is where I can see just the Holy Spirit. This lit me up this week. It says, you will overflow. Everybody say overflow. With thankfulness. Again, as you pursue God, as you pursue Him in His presence. Again, we've talked so much about this, you guys, this year like never before, about being a man, a woman that goes after God with everything within us, to understand that our time and our devotion is incredibly important to getting God's will and God's perspective in our life. And here's what I know. As you do that, and as you're faithful, and you give God everything, not just some things, but you go all in with God. Listen, that's why, as I shared, you'll be able to, even when you're going through your own storm, you can help minister to somebody else through their storm as well. Why? Because of your time spent in His presence, you can live a life of overflow. That even when I feel like I don't got it, guess what? You don't. That's why you got the Holy Spirit in you. To help you to be in a place. Come on, I don't know about you, but I want to be in a place of the overflow. I want to be so full of God that whatever comes my way, that whatever happens, whenever thoughts try to jack with me, that man, it's the overflow. I'm dependent not on my strength. I'm not dependent on what I know. I'm not dependent on my experiences. I'm certainly not dependent on my mind. I'm dependent on the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, that's everything, overflow. And then Jesus said this in Matthew 5. He said, you're the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Here's what I was thinking about this week. That you and I are true carriers of His presence, of His light. That everywhere that we go and whoever we come in contact with, guess what? We're called to be carriers of that. There's a lot of people, maybe even today, that you know that don't know Christ, or maybe they're spiritually restless. They've been struggling with God or even with church. I'm just telling you that you're part of God's answer to help bring in healing to the lives of people. You really are. And it's because of the Holy Spirit that we have direct access to God. And I'm so glad for that. You know, in America, I don't know why this is, and we're tearing it down here. Pastors and leaders oftentimes get viewed as the only ones who ever hear from God, and that is so not true. The Holy Spirit is for everyone. The same potential that's in me is the same potential that's in you. Amen, everybody? Ephesians 3:6 says this, I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, that He will empower you. Aren't you glad God's unlimited just in His resources and His power? With inner strength through His Spirit, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. So I just want to give you four things real quick that is part just of this empowering culture in our church and give you a few thoughts with this. One is this has just always been something we believe in our church ever since that we started in 2012, that we believe every Christian is a minister. We just believe that. We've always believed that, that you're called to be a minister, to dream. Old school kind of philosophy would say that the preacher does all the ministry, and honestly, that is not true. Part of my responsibility is to help equip us for the work of the ministry. Part of the role of a pastor, all right? 1 Peter 2:9 says, look at this, but you are a chosen people. Everybody say, I've been chosen. A royal priesthood. All right, bet you didn't know, but you know now that you're a priest. Yeah, like it or not, that's what you are, all right? A holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His wonderful light. Hebrews 6 says, so come on. Everybody say, come on. Look at this. This verse is so cool. I love the Message Bible. Let's leave the preschool finger painting exercises. Come on. Let's leave it, all right? And let's get on with the grand work of art. Let's grow up in Christ. Let's get maturity in us. There's so much more. Let's get on with it. Everybody say, there's so much more. This is just, again, a picture of that journey that God has us on, of knowing Him, of finding freedom, of discovering what His purpose is, and then going to make a difference in our life. And I'm telling you, I don't know about you, but I'm desperate for the much more part to be a part of that. I'm desperate for that. Guess what? You've got to leave the preschool finger paintings. Another version says to grow up or mature in Christ. Leave the elementary things. How many know that if you have kids today that, you know, for me, Ashton's in fourth grade. I don't want Ashton to stay in fourth grade until she's 21. Right? How many want to see your kids go to the next grade? Right? And graduate. Well, the same can be said in our relationship with God, that God wants to see us graduate from where we're at, because there's the more part that He's trying to get us to, but growth is a choice. And we got to be willing to put in, come on, some of the time and the devotion that's going to take and some of the storms. But even when I face a storm, you and I are never alone in the storm. He's always next to us, all right? And so we just got to continue to remember that. I think about the ones that even in our church right now, leading small groups, different small groups, and that are making a difference from, you know, Bible curriculum, Bible study type of groups that have that call to them and have that assignment that they know. And man, they're living it out. They're making a difference. To the ones that are helping to start, you know, outreach small groups, and those are continuing to grow and to make a difference. And I'm so thankful for that, because guess what? You and I are called to ministry. Not just me, you are. You are called to ministry and to make an impact in the world without you. That's why we all serve together. And baby, there ain't no divas here. Yeah, no divas. Because we all going to pick up the trash. We're all going to serve. We're all going to help straighten chairs. Glory to God. We're all going to do those things. Nothing's ever beneath us. Now, I'm one of the ones, if I see trash, man, I just pick it up. Why? Because, man, I want God's house looking good, everybody. We care for those things. Ephesians 4 says, He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. Doesn't God do such a great job? As each part, look at this, does its own special work. Let me say it this way. As each person does his or her own special work, look what it does. It helps the other parts grow. Let me say it this way. It helps other people grow. See that verse that way. So that the whole body, the church of Jesus Christ, look at this, is healthy, growing, full of love. Now, here's the key. To be healthy, growing, full of love is each and every one of us doing what we're called to do. Doing our part. Whatever that may be. It may be scrubbing a toilet. Trust me, we thank God for the cleaning team. I'm thankful. You know, I'm thankful for a clean toilet. Amen. As I said earlier, I don't know why I'm stuck on toilets today, but I am. I'm thankful for our parking lot team. Man, we've had some nasty weather, but they've been out in the elements helping people, bringing them in. I mean, everybody just making a difference in whatever capacity that they can. And guess what it's doing? It's helping to build the church to being healthy, growing, full of love. Can I, sir, ma'am, with all due respect, what are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? Because I'm telling you, God has placed some things on the inside of us to not sit on those things and to be a part of life. You know, I was just at the hospital this week. We have a few families in our church, their loved ones, they're just struggling. One of them this week passed away. It was there when his sister passed away, very tragically, out of nowhere. And it continues for every bedside that I sit down next to and see a person die. Some of the hardest parts of what we do is seeing people hurt and seeing families lose somebody. And I think about the life that we all have, that it's easy in America for us to take this for granted, and we don't know how much time we have. And for every person, every bedside that I've seen them take their last breaths, it's always a reminder in me, God, let me never take a day on this earth for granted, and let me always accomplish what you're trying to do through my life. How, I don't care if it hurts like hell. Whatever it takes, I want your help and your growth in my life. I want more of you. And forgive me of my selfishness, Lord. And so I'm just telling us, let's be on to that. Hey, Kyle and Spencer, come on up here. Come on, these guys are going to help me. I know you've been wondering what in the world is happening. Pastor, don't you know it's the 1st of March, not June. You know, kayak. All right, guys, if you have a seat. All right, so I'm gonna tell you something real cool, and I gotta kind of move on this. You all right? Praise God. All right, here you go. All right, so I did some research this week and some studying on this. When I was praying about this message, the Holy Spirit reminded me of an Olympic sport that I had no idea, called rowing, all right? And so I just saw it when I was praying and working on this message, and I was like, all right, I got some work to do. And so I went to our United States site for the Olympic sport of rowing, all right? And I learned a lot. And so one of the things I learned is the boat they use, it's called a shell. It's actually not called a boat or anything. So we have a kayak and we have paddles, all right? Now, this isn't the real picture of rowing, all right? But for our easy sake today, this is our picture. So paddles are oars, all right? So they're not paddles today, they're oars. Everybody say oars, all right? All right, good. And so within this sport, listen, they said this, and I saw this on multiple things when I researched this, but they consider the teams of rowing the strongest athletes in the world. It is the only teams that, it is the only athletes in the world, or there's only a couple sports, I should preface that, that use every muscle group in their body. All right? And then they said, it was so funny, in bold on the U.S. Olympic site, they said, this is so good, I'm like, y'all preaching, you don't even know it. And so they said, we're not looking for MVPs. We're looking for team players. I was like, man. They said, if you want to be an MVP, this ain't your sport. But if you want to be great at a team, I'm telling you, you go look at it, it's there. They said, you want to be great as a team, this is your sport. I just try to row, all right? Act like, I mean, just go ahead. Because, I mean, think about it. It's hard. Like, they're already off. You know what I mean? Everybody stretch your hands toward these guys. No, I'm just kidding. And so, all right, you can stop. So the time, I mean, there's a lot that goes into this to help produce the right rhythm and timing. They work 6 days a week as they work towards Olympics. By the way, I mean, it's just a very, very difficult sport. But check this out. This is the thing that kind of just blew my mind and preached to me a little bit more. Teamwork was the most greatest thing. Teamwork's number one, they said. But then they said, number two, the greatest thing to being a great rower and to do this well and to do this in sync is your being planted, your positioning, and your legs. Said honestly, if that is not firm and strong, how you sit and your legs being planted and staying firm, they said, your upper body and for rowing is going to be out of sorts. So when I was looking at training, they said, we always start with staying planted. And I'm just telling you, I don't know what you're going through and what you're facing, but the enemy and people will always try to out-talk you of staying planted sometimes. And you've got to be real careful to voices that you listen to. But for some of us, I've seen way more church hoppers and shoppers. I've been saved a long time. I got saved when I was 4 years of age. This year, I celebrate my 20th year in ministry. It's crazy. And the one thing that I've seen is those, and it's a scripture, gang, those who stay planted, the Bible says that they will flourish in the house of God. Psalm, I believe, chapter 90, I believe. And the positioning of them, they said, and if they are, it will help bring rhythm and support to everything else in the rest of their body. And they go on to say that it will help produce great breathing, timing, legs, all those things, and great grip. And here's what I'm saying today for all of us, is that God is telling us, you can do one or two things. You can try this thing by yourself, and if that's what you want to do, good luck. Or you can make the decision that I'm going to grab an oar and I'm not going to do this by myself, but we're going to do this together. We're going to row this thing together. We're going to serve in whatever gifting we have together, whether it's picking up trash, straightening a row, whether it's singing, playing an instrument, teaching kids, hospitality, ushering, whatever it may be. I'm just going to pick up the oar, baby. I'm going to do what God has called me. I'm going to make the decision in my life that I'm going to grow, and I'm not just going to continue all my life to root other people by when God has put breath in these lungs to go make a difference. Look at the person next to you and say, it's time to grab an oar. Come on, look at the other person and say, it's time to grab an oar. Come on, give these guys a hand. Good job, guys. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Number two, jot it down. I got to move. Every task is so important. Grab an oar. Grab an oar and let's row together. If we're going to have good teamwork, man, in doing it, it's because we're making a decision to grow. Culture places a lot of value on the visible things. I'm telling you, man, that's not the heart of God. God sees everything, and everything that we do is unto the Lord. I'm thankful for every teacher right now that's teaching our kids. One of my favorite things I get to do when I don't preach on a Sunday and one of the other guys are preaching is I go back to those rooms. Why? Cheering our teachers on. I'm so thankful for them investing in our kids. I've got kids back there too, and I'm so glad. I'm so thankful that they love what they do. One of my favorite things is just to go by the nursery to see them holding our babies, praying over them. I saw one of our girls singing over our baby some time ago. I just love knowing that our teachers care that much for our kids. Right now, what's happening too, they're in small groups with your kids. How many thankful for our kids' ministry, everybody? Amen. I love it. And you know what they did? You know what those teachers did? They made a decision. I'm going to grab an oar. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to invest in the next generation. So thankful for our student ministry. It's grown. Kyle and Anna Satter just knocking the ball out of the park with it, the leadership team with it. And I'm so thankful for a team that says, man, we're going to grab an oar. We're going to make a difference in the lives of teenagers. We're going to see high schools won for Jesus. High schools won for Jesus. Why not pray and believe that big? When you serve a big God, 1 Corinthians 12 says, if the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? How strange a body would be if it only had one part. How many know that would be awful strange? The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can never say to the feet, I don't need you. One of our elderly ladies, she always comes in our first service. Love her, love her, love her. She's a grandmother to me. I just love her. She doesn't have any family here in Fort Wayne, and so we are her family. And she'll tell me from time to time, and she said, Pastor, still one of my favorite things in this church is not only being a part and helping to serve on the dream team. She said, I may be in my mid-80s, but I still got purpose. I said, yeah, girl, you do. Absolutely you do. God ain't done with you. Helps in small groups. But she said, one of my favorite things is getting hugs. She said, man, this church, she said, the way they love me is just awesome. And she said, my small group, she said, I look forward to my hugs every week because I need them. You know, they say, doctors say you need 10 to 15 touches a day to be healthy. And I just think, she said, so I get all the hugging I can. She heard that one day. She said, well, I get all the hugging I can in one or two days, Pastor. I said, amen. Third thing is this, is every person is unique. I love this verse. It says this. It says, we are God's workmanship, his masterpiece. Pray it stays. Okay, good. In other words, God decided when you would live. Think about this. He decided where you would live. He decided who your parents were going to be. He decided how tall or short you would be. What you would look like. I mean, think about all these things. God made this decision on purpose because he had something for you and I to accomplish. And you have an incredible value to him. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things that he planned. Look at this, long ago. In other words, God had a job and that needed to be done, and he created you to help solve that problem. Everyone has a place. The person who notices, again, chair's not straight, has a place. The person that notices someone sitting by themselves, thank God for that person, they have a place. We're his masterpiece. Listen, let me say it this way. If you're here at Elevate City and something bothers you or annoys you, can I just give you full permission and say, help fix it? Help fix it. You know, it may be why you're here. Listen, I believe either you can learn to get better or you can be a critic. And I would say, learn to get better. Because if you don't learn to get better, you'll become a critic of those who are getting better. Amen, everybody? My wife preached to me a year or so ago. She's good. Husbands, listen to your wives. I was not happy with the way the basketball team was going for my daughter. I was frustrated, mumbling under my breath. She said, shut your mouth. She said, if you got a problem, then you coach. But don't open your mouth. You support the rest of the season. Next year can be different if you coach. Yes, ma'am. You're right. Praise God. I'll shut my mouth. Thank you, Lord. You know, so I did that. So I'm just saying, let's not be critical. My God, we got enough of that in the world today. Let's be life givers and figure out, man, how can I be a part of the answer? Preaching good, Pastor. Man, thank you guys so much. I feel it. 1 Corinthians 12 says, God's various gifts are handed out everywhere. Come on up, Anna. But they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various ministries are carried out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various expressions of power and action everywhere, but God himself is behind it all. Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. All kinds of things are handed out by the Spirit to all kinds of people. The variety is wonderful. I just believe we must embrace every person, that we must embrace every personality to help create the beautiful expression of Jesus Christ. We've got to grab an oar. And here's the final thing, and that is every person is great at something. Every one of you are great at something. Would you stand to your feet today? As you're standing to your feet, I know some of y'all are writing that down. We got some of them OCD peoples. I mean, I ain't leaving here without the last point, Pastor. Give me just a second. All right, do your thing. And then as you stand up, look at the person next to you and say, man, you're great at something. And let me say this. I love to hear the laughter. Let me say this. If you don't know what that is, what you're great at, listen to me. We want to help you figure it out what it is. That's Growth Track, and it's where we come in to help you. And the goal of our church is honestly to help you see that you were made for this, to make a difference with your life. The Bible says in Psalm 139 that you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, for your works are wonderful, and I know that for full well. Every one of you are awesome at something. Each team member has their place. The dream of Elevate City for us is, again, that you know that you are called by God and called to go make a difference. For me, my name's Kyle, and I'm called to be the lead pastor and to be a servant, to be a leader, to help any way that I possibly can. And I want to see this world won for Jesus. But here's what I know. There is no way I can do that alone. And I refuse to. But we can together. And we can make an incredible difference together in this city for the glory of God. But it's going to take each of us to grab an oar. For somebody, it's just one step today. I don't know what your one step is. Maybe it's noon in Growth Track. And you say, today's the day. It's time to not doing more. It's time to start leading more. And grab an oar and let's go. Amen, everybody? Would you bow your head right where you're at? And here's what I want to ask you to do right where you're at. Just open up your hands towards God. All right? Just open up. That's it. That's it. That's it. Just all of us. Because I'm telling you right now, God is in this place. He is absolutely in this place. And he is talking to us. He's moving. For some of us, We sense it. We feel it. Maybe it's something you haven't felt before. But I'm just telling you, as your hands are open to God, say, here's the position and the why behind this posture. Because it's saying, God, you can have complete control of my life. I'm surrendering my life and my will. And I think this is something that you and I have to do every day anyway. To realize that this is not about me. So God, I'm asking you right now, all of us together as one people, forgive us for selfishness. Forgive us of just trying to accomplish things or do things by ourselves or on our own. Because God, we're not going very far unless you're with us and people are with us. So God, we need you. And we invite your presence into this place right now. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. Speak to us. Man, I feel the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, God is here. God is here. He's talking to people. He's talking to people. He's talking to people. Thank you, Lord. Spirit of God. Come on, we're just going to hang. We're going to hang. Come on, let God talk to you. Let him talk to you. Let him talk to you. Let him talk to you. God, we need you. We're so desperate for you. Speak, Holy Spirit. I'm telling you. Take the step. Take the step. Trust God. Move in faith. Move in faith. Hey, it may be uncomfortable at first, but trust God. Trust God. And I declare right now in the name of Jesus, of anything that's trying to hold you back, every voice of negativity and the voice of the enemy that's tried to lie to you, and any voice even within family lines and parents that have said that you were a mistake, I'm telling you right now, you are not a mistake. God knew exactly what he was doing when he created you. And today we break the power of the enemy and the voice of the enemy off of your life. And we declare this is your day to pick up the oar that God has placed within your life, to go forward in his mission for your life, to make a difference in Jesus' name. This is not about Elevate City. This is about you and God and embracing his gift for your life. So God, we surrender right now to you in the mighty name of Jesus. If you're here today and you hear and you know God's telling you one or two things, to pick up an oar, or man, you know that there's something God is calling you to step out in faith. Would you raise your hand right now? I feel like I'm talking to a few people. I don't know who it is. Is there anybody else that says, man, that God's calling me to step out in faith? I'm telling you, man, there's an anointing for this. Raise your hand. If that's you and you say, man, that's me. Yeah, hands are going up. Either you need to grab that oar or God is calling you to step out in faith. That's it. God, right now, in Jesus' name, for every person right now, God, that you are calling to grab an oar or step out in faith right now in the name of Jesus Christ. God, I speak, God, strategy from heaven. I speak, God, that you will speak to their hearts, God, in the coming days and weeks, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. And let faith come alive in the name of the Lord. And God, I declare fear nor intimidation will come into their life. But God, that they will hear from you and they will walk out that calling and they will walk out what you've placed within them to do for the glory of God. And we honor you and we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I want to lead you in a prayer right now. If you're here and you don't know Christ, I want you just to simply say this prayer after me. Mean it today. Some of you, that's your step today, is knowing Jesus and making him the Lord of your life. And just say this with me. Say, Jesus, I need you. I invite you in my heart, and I make you the Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of my past. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.